nice to see you all. Thank you so much for choosing to do something before 9 a.m. I'm really excited for this. We're going to be through the end of Vayikra, focusing on little snippets from Vayikra Rabbah for this Midrash class. A little bit about Vayikra Rabbah. Vayikra Rabbah is largely an Agadic Midrash, meaning that its primary work is not to derive halacha, but to do what for now I will call something else. In Vayikra Rabbah, that something else seems to be largely homiletical, meaning that Vayikra Rabbah's project largely seems to be taking these parts of Vayikra that can often in a post-temple world feel fairly obscure, meaning things about sacrifices, things about purification, things that we no longer live in our day-to-day lives, and doing what I'll call, this word might sound vaguely Christian to some people, but bear with me, doing what I'll call for now, spiritualizing them. Meaning, looking at these psukim and actually saying we can draw spiritual, cosmic, religious meaning from them. And we're going to be seeing a little snippet of what that looks like close up today. Just for a little bit of technical background about Vayikra Rabbah, it seems to be later than some other portions of what we refer to as the Midrash Rabbahs, meaning it's almost certainly later than Bereishit Rabbah. What we're going to see today is actually Vayikra Rabbah borrowing a large chunk from Bereishit Rabbah and repurposing it. We'll leave it at that for now. It also seems to have access to the Yerushalmi and does even seem to be later than the Bavli because it sometimes uses language that seems to be used directly in the vein of the Bavli. So we're talking about a work of Agadic Midrash that is a little bit on the later side for the early Agadic Midrash. We'll hedge that way. What we're going to be looking at today is a piece that centers around the first psukim from Parshat Tezria. Let's get started with the first source on the doc, which is the psukim that are going to be centered around in this snippet from Vayikra Rabbah. V'daber Hashem Moshe lemor, daber al b'nei Yisrael lemor, isha ki Tezria v'yalda zachar. Now, I'm going to use the translation that is given by, I believe, the JPS, but I'm going to hedge by saying that some of these words are notoriously difficult to translate for the reasons that I'll point out in a minute. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelite people thus. When a woman at childbirth bears a male, she shall be unclean 7 days. She shall be unclean as at the time of her menstrual infirmity," meaning when she has her normal period, when she's a nida. The reason that I hedged about the translation is for the following reason. Isha ki tezria ve'yalda zachar. Right now, the translation we have on the page translates Isha ki tezria, when a woman at childbirth bears a male, but that actually collapses the words ki tezria and ve'alda. It is possible that ki tezria actually means something different. It's possible that it means when she conceives or something at other point in the pregnancy process. But for the purposes of our class today, this translation suffices. Now, the Midrash from Vayikra Rabbah is going to do what it classically does, meaning it's not going to focus on the technical aspects of purity and impurity here. It's actually going to focus in on the idea of childbirth and use that to expand our idea of what actually childbirth looks like and bring it into what I would say is a cosmic realm. And what I'd like us to keep in the back of our minds today as a question is what actually happens to our idea of childbirth and our idea of what is going on in these psukim locally when we mentally put this midrash from Vayikra next to them. How does it change our understanding the next time we go and look at these psukim? Let's jump into the midrash. You will have two columns here. I've done my best to match them up side by side. I'll be jumping between the Hebrew and the English. Let's get going. This is actually the first snippet from Vayikra Rabbah on our week's parsha, Tezria Masora. Isha ki Tezria, hadahu dechtiv, that's what is written, achor v'kedem sartani. Achor v'kedem sartani is a little snippet from a chapter in Tehillim. This is a very common technique in Vayikra Rabbah. It will give you a little snippet of our pasuk from locally from our parsha and then link you immediately to another pasuk from what would immediately be seen as a far-flung place. That is often Tehillim, that's often Iyov in Vayikra Rabbah for reasons that we'll see in future classes. And what happens is we will actually focus for a while on that pasuk from Tehillim and only at the end see how it links back to our local place in Tezria Metzora. Achor v'kedem sartani, you have formed me from behind and before. And the Midrash is going to link this to actually the creation of human beings. If you want to take a moment and look on page 3, where you have the translation of the entire chapter of Tehillim here, you'll see that there are a few reasons for this. One is simply the local pasuk use of the word yetzartani, you formed me. That gives us a word link to creation. But if you actually take the time to read the entire parak of Tehillim here, you'll see where I underline that there are actually later on psukim that seem to describe the creation of human beings fairly explicitly. And it hedges between, is this talking about human formation in the womb or human formation in the very beginning? It was you who created my conscience. You fashioned me in my mother's womb. I praise you for I am awesomely, wondrously made. Your work is wonderful. I know it very well. My frame was not concealed from you when I was shaped in a hidden place, knit together in the recesses of the earth. So you see both the play on in my mother's womb, which will apply very directly at the end of our midrash, and also to creation as a whole. And this is a different idea of what creation looks like. This is actually God creating man, not necessarily from the earth, but it seems in the earth, which I find very fun. Let's jump back to Vayikra Rabbah on the first page. Said Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to be playing with the idea of what this from behind and in front means. If a man merits, he inherits two worlds, this one and the coming one. That's what is written, you have created me from behind and from the front. So this world, behind, the next world in the front. And if not, he comes to give reckoning, as it says, and you laid your hand, kapcha, upon me. That's also in our parak of Tehillim. And that seems to be an idea of God punishing by almost pushing down. As it is written, and here we have Iyov, as we often do in Vayikra Rabbah, withdraw your hand from me. So first image, what is behind and before? In the ideal situation, human beings will have two worlds, one now and one to come. That's snapshot number one. Let's go to snapshot number two. Said Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, I think that a lot of people have heard this one in different forms. When the Holy One, blessed be He, created the first man, He created him. We'll see that that is not necessarily apt in a moment, as an androgynous being. Rish Lakish said, when it was created, dual faces together were created, and it was cut and two were made. One back was male, one back was female. So just for a moment to say how this relates back to our pasuk, Achor v'kedem, Sartani, you formed me from back and in front. The first human being was actually double-sexed, with the male part being on one side, the female part being on the other side. So you have the front part and the back part. We'll get snapshot number 3 in a moment. Said Rabbi Barachia and Rabbi Chalbo and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, when God created the first man from one end of the world to the other, he created him to fill the entire world. How do we know from east to west? As it says, you created me back to east. How do we know from north to south, which is our pasuk? As it says, from the ends of the heaven to the ends of the earth. How do we know that it was the expanse of the world? As it says, and you laid your hand on me. So just a moment to pick apart these 3 snapshots. What is this original creation that we're talking about? One is the original intent that in the ideal form there will be 2 worlds for human beings. One is this original androgynous human being with male and female sides. And the third is this human being who is actually so massive that they form the entire world. And in each of these, implicit in them is either the possibility of collapse, meaning it is possible for human beings to fail and thus only inherit this world, or actual collapse, the original androgynous human being sundered into 2, or the original massive human being who's reduced in size to human beings as we know them now. And this is going to be a theme in our midrash, that human beings actually have this incredible potential and are created with this incredible potential, and are at some point, due to some sort of sin, whittled down to size. And we'll see how that plays out in the rest of the midrash. We're going to continue playing with our verse, because that's Vayikra Rabbah, and that is the most fun that you can possibly have if you are an author of Vayikra Rabbah. Said Rabbi Elazar, behind, that's the first day of creation. Before, that's the last day. So Rabbi Elazar is saying that there actually are possibly 2 points at which human beings are created. And bear with me to see how that plays out. For the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, there is the verse, let the earth bring forth the living soul, nefesh chayat, to its kind. That is the 6th day of creation where animals and human beings are formed. That's the last day that we're talking about. Living soul, that's the spirit of the first man. So Rabbi Elazar is saying, within this snippet, human beings are formed on the 6th day, the last day of creation. Said Reish Lakish, behind, that's the last day, before, that's the first day. For the opinion of Reish Lakish, there is the verse, and the spirit of God wavered upon the water. That is the spirit of the king Messiah. Remember, this is the 2nd verse in Bereishit. V'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim. And Reish Lakish says, that's not just God's spirit upon the water, whatever that could possibly mean. What is that spirit? That's actually the spirit at that very moment of the Messiah, of the Mashiach. So what we're doing by putting these 2 verses side by side is saying, you think that there is 1 creation of human beings and that it's the last culminating piece of creation? Actually, no, there's a different way to read, the way Reish Lakish reads, which is that in the very first moment of creation, before we even get any words of creation, already the spirit of the ultimate culminating moment of humanity has been created. That is the spirit of the King Messiah. If a man merits, we say to him, you're created before all of creation. If not, we say to him, the mosquito preceded you, which feels particularly insulting as summer approaches. So let's just take a moment to recap what happened there. This is going to be important to understand the rest. We're once again playing with this dual nature of human beings. When human beings are at their best, we look at them and say, like Reish Lakish does, you were intended in creation from the very first moment, from even before anything was created explicitly. the ultimate culminating moment of humanity was created? And if not, you were an afterthought. Mosquitoes were created before you. Other animals were created before you. Everything was created before you. So again, this play, Achor V'Kedem, you have these two natures. What happens when we put them both together? We are almost at where Vayikra is going to get back to our pasuk from Tezria Mitzora. Francine Shraga, we are in Vayikra 14:1. Okay, said Rabbi Yishmael in the name of Rabbi Tanchum, behind on all creation, before, first in all punishments. So Rabbi Yishmael actually only seems to be siding with one part of this human nature, and he seems to see it as the lower part. Meaning, he says, yeah, you were created last, you were the afterthought, but you know what? You are the first to get punished. You are the only, or perhaps the most likely to deserve punishment, and that is human nature. Said Rabbi Yochanan, though, we are in number 6 right now. Even man's praise only comes last, as it says, and many of us will recognize this from Tehillim and Shachari. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. In Hebrew, hachaya v'chol behema remes v'tzipor kanaf. And only after that does it say, melche eretz v'chol le'umim. And this is not talking about praise of man, this is talking about praise by man. Even human beings only praise God last. They are actually slower to do that than all other creatures. So that seems to be falling in on Rabbi Yishmael Barabbi Tanchum. 7, and here we are going to finally get back to Tezria. And we're going to slow down here. I know that this has been a wild ride. We're going to slow down and take a moment to digest all of this. Said Rabbi Simlai, just like a man's formation was after beast, cattle, and bird, meaning siding with the regular reading of creation, human beings were created last on day 6, the way that Rabbi Elazar reads, as opposed to Reish Lakish, who says human beings were actually in their ultimate culminating form, we're at the very beginning of creation. Just like man's formation was after beast, cattle, and bird, so too his laws are after beast, cattle, and bird. And this is focusing in on our very local piece in Tezria Mitzora. And that's what is written, this is the law of cattle, Leviticus 46, and afterwards a woman when she gives seed. So this is actually doing something very clever and looking back to the portion, the psukim that come immediately before the beginning of our parsha. If you scroll down all the way to the last source on the page, Vayikra Yod Aleph through Yod Bet, we actually get Zot Torat HaBehema V'Ha'oth V'Chol Nefesh HaChaya HaRomeset B'Mayim. We're getting the end of the laws of what you can eat and what you cannot eat, what animals are pure, what animals are impure. And from there, it goes to our psukim. V'yedaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, God spoke to Moshe saying, speak to Bnei Yisrael saying, Isha ki tezria, a woman when she gives birth. A little word about this. The rabbis here are actually picking up on something very interesting happening in the pasuk that in the psukim that immediately precede our parsha. If you take a look at the psukim, there's actually a lot of creation language in those psukim. Does anyone want to use the chat just to share with us what specific words there jump out as language that's familiar from the first chapter of Bereshit that would lead the rabbis to say, aha, this is a creation narrative? Sharetz, great. What else? Romeset, yes, exactly. Very particular language that we remember from Bereshit. Al-Haaretz, good. One last piece that is important to note is also, yes, Rebecca Whitman, you got it. Also, Melinda Zalman, Lahav Dielbin, the idea of dividing is exactly how creation seems to happen again and again in Bereshit. And the rabbis look at those psukim and immediately see, I understand that locally we're talking about purity and impurity, but this is begging me to go back to creation. And actually, if I start to read those psukim as alluding to creation, there actually is something incredibly interesting happening with immediately after that having a pasuk about a woman giving birth. What I really want us to notice here is that this actually, we often conceive of Midrash as very atomistic, meaning looking only at a word and doing an interesting play on, oh, this word here links to that word there. But what's actually going on here is very interesting literary analysis. They're looking at Vayikra and saying, if you pay attention to word choice here, we actually are getting a description in some ways that is begging us to go back to creation and is begging us to ask, okay, if I conceive of this being a narrative of creation, how does that change how I understand this narrative of childbirth here? What does it demand of me to actually think about every time I think about a question of a child being born into this world? We have about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to scan the chat for comments, but I'd also like people to weigh in. If you were actually to take these snippets from Vayikra Rabba, these snapshots of what it means to be a human being, and juxtapose them in your mind with the idea of childbirth, what does it demand of us to think about when we think about childbirth, when we think about a new human being coming into the world? That might be a lot for 8:57 in the morning, but if you want to use the chat to weigh in, I would love to hear your thoughts. I just want to make sure to read out loud Sharon Perlman's comment, which is the rabbis were taking into account the two versions of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, human created last, human created first, I think is what you meant. Yes, exactly. This was way before any biblical criticism. Brilliant. I think that's exactly on the nose. And one other thing to take into consideration, this will be less important as we go on in Vayikra Rabba, but if you've ever spent time in Bereshit Rabba, the rabbis actually are very clear on the fact that there aren't just two creation narratives in the Torah, if you take into account all of Tanakh. They're actually way more than that. We get many creation narratives in Eov that are very different from our classic creation narratives in Bereshit. We get many creation narratives all over Tehillim. We get a mini Gan Eden scene in Yechezkel. The Torah actually, the Tanakh as a whole actually has way more creation stories than we often think about. I want to read Melinda Zalma's comment, the potential for all humans for good and bad. How are parents going to guide the children for good? Through Torah, of course. Which also, Melinda, I think is fascinating because it actually demands in your reading of going back to the pasuk before. Let me just make sure to get the right phrase. I have Dil ben hatameh uben hatameh. You're saying that actually is the demand on every parent. Actually, it is your job to guide them in the instruction that we had immediately preceding. Maxine asked, what's your take on Tezriah Vayelda, conceive and bear? That to me does seem to be a plainer understanding, which does also pop up in the Midrash if you ever want guidance, Midrashic guidance on how to have a son, particularly. We will not be doing that in next week's class. Shelby Decolo says, taking the Midrashic source 3, this seems like there is a rectification of man and woman coming together, climaxing at childbirth. That's super interesting, and I never thought of that before. That's really interesting. You have actually this rectification in this moment. That's beautiful. Okay, everyone, we're gonna call it a morning here. Thank you so much for learning with me this morning. I'm available by email at adler@hadar.org if you have any follow-ups. And we will be doing this Monday mornings at 8:30 and Thursday mornings at 8:30. Be well, everyone. Have a great day.